This is the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm John Williams. Pete Zimmerman is your producer, and Elise Glink starts the show off with us on Mondays. Hi, Elise. Welcome back.
Hi. Nice to be here, John.
Nice to talk about the Dow and NASDAQ, both huge gains today. What's going on?
Well, you know, last week we were down quite a bit because the bond market was all in a tizzy. And so we saw mortgage interest rates jump up about 0.5% from where they were at the beginning of February, about a month ago. So for those of you who are looking for those under 3% rates, they're a little bit harder to find for a 30-year fixed. But that caused everybody on the equity side to get nervous. And so that's calmed down. And so equities have gone back up. Plus, we saw some interesting news from Boeing, who's had such troubles in the last couple of weeks with engines falling apart in mid-flight. And yet United just put in an order for 75 new Boeing jets. And I think that helped inject a little bit of boost of confidence for them.
I alluded to the fact that this jump might be vaccine related, but not so much that, huh?
Well, I think it's really good news that we got J&J approved, and they say they're going to come out roaring with, I don't know, 40 million doses or shots for 40 million people, some huge number. I think by the end of March, a lot of us are going to be able to get vaccines, and I hope everybody does. But we're also seeing, you know, some movement based on just kind of a bounce back from last week. Certainly the vaccine stuff is good, and we saw Johnson & Johnson had zoomed up in advance of the announcement, that they went down, and now they're back up again. So it looks good.
And if I may, this is my read on it, too. I mean, I think I'd rather have a vaccine that was 90-plus percent effective than one that's 66% effective. But then again, if I only have to arrange for one appointment, maybe I'll happily take the Johnson & Johnson vaccine at 66 versus 2 of Moderna or Pfizer. And the experts we talked to, Elise, said, really, it's all the same. The idea is not so much your vaccination, although it is, but it's about the herd, right? So if just enough of us all get vaccinated at 66 to 100%, that's what we're shooting for. So you are, there's no harm, there's no foul in getting the 66, and 66 is very good anyway.
Well, I'd also like to point out that the 66% shot is actually 100% effective in keeping you from dying from this disease, and 100% effective from keeping you out of the hospital. So you may get it, but it's a little bit more, the way I think about it, is more like a flu vaccine, where it's lessening the severity of it and keeping you safe from the really harmful stuff that could happen if you got a really serious case of the illness. And really, this stuff is, I don't know if people just see people who have had it and they're dancing in the streets or something, but I know people who months later thought they had licked it and gone back into the hospital with a spikes of blood pressure issues, or they've got memory issues. I mean, you really want to avoid getting this if you can. I'd also like to point out that I went on to Walgreens' website today, and there are lots of appointments available for people who are qualifying under the state's plan. I think they're taking 1B plus right now. So if you qualify, there are lots of places available to get a vaccine shot.
Hopefully that's working. They had problems over the weekend. We took a ton of calls this morning on our show from listeners who were on the Walgreens site, and it looked like there were slots, and when you clicked on, there was a glitch. And in fact, Walgreens put a statement out today. I'll just read you from their Twitter. We apologize for the system issues. This has been escalated due to we apologize for the system issues. This has been escalated to our tech team. That's corporate speak for we told them about it. This has been escalated to our tech team, and we're working to get this resolved. Please register online. If you have issues, here's the phone number. I'll repeat this in a minute, 877-250-5823, 877-250-5823. That happened over the weekend. Hopefully it's resolved today, Elise.
I hope so. I don't want to make an appointment yet because I don't qualify, but it was good to look and see that there are places where you can sign up.
And I think it's an interesting thing to think about, too. Maybe you want Moderna versus Johnson & Johnson. That second shot, the side effects can really be tough. That lays some people out. I know people who are healthy and not old who got the second shot, and it had them on a sofa for a couple of days. And by the way, that's not a problem with the vaccine. That is a natural reaction. If you don't have that reaction, you're still vaccinated, but it is a complication with the second shot for many people.
It can be, and I don't think anybody knows if they're going to get a reaction or not. You just have to try.
All right, Elise Glinks on the line. A little bit more about real estate, a little bit more about the markets coming up. Elise Glinks on the Wintrust Business Lunch on Mondays, the real estate and financial wellness expert. I was reading a little bit about Warren Buffett's letter, and he's saying some of the things you were saying too, the softer bond yields and some other good news, including his cheering on American businesses, he says is what's driving the market. Right, Elise?
That's what he's saying. I'm not sure that I agree with, I mean, he's pretty smart, so I'm not going to say that Warren Buffett isn't right. But his perspective as the owner of many U.S.-based companies, I think, does give him a certain tinge to his rose-colored glasses about what's happening in the U.S. But what is interesting is that the Biden administration has said that it is going to tackle the problem of disappearing manufacturing, because they feel it's important. If something like this happens again, I mean, remember where we were a year ago, everything shut down, and suddenly everybody wanted a mask.
Yeah.
Well, in this country, we had lost the ability to make things like masks and other kinds of equipment that was needed, and that had to be restarted, and those companies had to be guaranteed a stream of income so they could get people hired and trained. And I think Biden doesn't want to be in that position again. To that point, you've seen Bill Gates and his philanthropic arm, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. They have invested in, I think it's 10 factories that are making vaccines all over the country, investing, you know, millions and millions of dollars to get these things up and running so that we're actually at a manufacturing capacity that we weren't at before.
You know, I think it's smart, don't you, that America be ready to mass produce PPE or whatever else it is that makes us healthy and safe. We should have that instant capacity here rather than farming it out to China at a discount, but then you can't get it. But I'm not sure people want to do that with shoes and sweaters. That's the problem, isn't it? TV sets and cell phones. Do you want to pay more for those items? I want them made here. I want them made by people that make a good living. I don't know that we can have our cake and eat it if you also want to have a good price.
Well, one place that we can actually have jobs that pay a lot is building houses. And so one of the things that I thought was so interesting is I was wandering around the North Shore this weekend on my endless walks, enjoying the beautiful weather. There are more houses that are starting to be built with steel than with wood. We're having a problem in this country right now to try and get enough houses built. You may have noticed that home prices have been rising all over the Chicago metro area, finally, but everywhere else they're rising too. And the reason is that the number of homes for sale in Chicago right now, just as it is everywhere else, is at almost an all-time low. So in a normal year, you might have two million homes listed, or 1.2 million homes listed, and right now there's about 470,000 homes listed. In Chicago, we should have over 40 to 50,000 homes listed, but we have just about 17,000 homes listed. And so the lack of supply is causing prices to rise. Interest rates being low is helping that too, but we're not building enough homes to keep up, and those are great paying jobs.
Boy, you're in the driver's seat if you've got a house that you own or you own a lot of. Here's the story of a home in Chesterton, Indiana. It went on sale. It went on the market in the last few days. Chesterton, Indiana, about an hour from downtown Chicago. And it's on 5 acres of land. And it's a nice ranch with a few bedrooms and a couple bathrooms. It has a good-looking swimming pool in ground in the backyard. And lovely landscaping. That Shangri-La, 5 acres off a country road. In a developed area, though, of Chesterton, Indiana, $389,000, or a one-bedroom in Chicago. And it goes on the market. Sunday, a couple of days later, they have 7 offers, and they know that they're going to get what they want plus. In fact, Sunday at noon, the bidding is already at $400,000, and who knows where it ends. It's one of those stories where they say, it's on the market, it's an attractive price, so we know we're going to get everybody in the door. And then we want your best bid Monday at noon. And then and then, you know, the world beats a path to your door. I think it's interesting, I guess, at least one of the things I wanted to mention to you about that was they knew that house was worth more. But if they came in under, maybe they would let the market just drive it up on its own, you know?
And that's happening all over. I talked to Steve Bertrand, I think, last week about a house that I know that went on the market in New Jersey, and they had 17 offers in 3 days. There's a house in Glencoe we passed on that same walk, and the listing agent said he put it on a week and a half ago. He's already had 16 showings and expects a handful of offers. There's literally just not enough homes available, and so this could be building to an interesting bubble. Meanwhile, there's a whole group of people and companies like Zillow that are entering the business because they started companies that are known as iBuyers, meaning that buyers and sellers kind of do this themselves, and they act as kind of the transaction hub, or they buy the house and then they resell it. Well, guess what? There's not even enough homes for them to buy. And so Zillow announced last week that the Zestimates in 20 markets to test, the Zestimates would be an actual offer from Zillow for your house. They will buy your house so they can turn around and resell it.
Zillow is going to buy the house and then flip it, essentially?
Pretty much.
I don't know that I like that. I mean, it's hard enough for people as it is, let alone somebody just getting into the market for profit. That's what they're doing, right?
They are, and they're not alone in it. There's a half a dozen other similar companies that are out there trying to scoop up inventory, meaning people's houses, and then sometimes they do a minor renovation to it. Sometimes they just resell it as is, but they think that the price points are going up so quickly, and they need more homes available to keep the flow going.
Oh, well, at least they have homes to sell. But I still don't like the fact that they're clogging it up by buying houses that other people are competing for. But then what happens to the people? So say you get $400,000 for that little house in Chesterton. Actually, it wasn't small. Now you got to find a place to live. What happens to those people? They got to go buy somebody else's inflated house, right?
That is correct. And so one of the reasons that I think you're not seeing people sell their homes is they want the bigger space, right? Because even if their kids have left, sometimes the kids have come home and they now are working from home. So they need two bedrooms where they might have needed one before. And you also see them having refinanced to these historic low interest rates. If you can qualify, there are 30-year interest-only loans available for large amounts for 2% and a little over 2%. So they've got low interest rates. They need all the space. They're happy where they are. Their kids have come home. They're not selling. And if they sold, to your point, they would end up paying more somewhere else.
Well, this is all being driven by the coronavirus, right?
A lot of it is being driven by the coronavirus, but some of it is being driven simply by the fact that we have not been building enough homes by a lot in this country every year for the past 11 years.
I'm just wondering. I say that because I wonder, all right, what happens when the virus goes away and people do want to come back into the cities and they do want to work in offices and it's safe? I just wonder what happens to people who, I don't know, are paying more than maybe they would have otherwise. I'm just wondering if there's any downside to all of this.
There's absolutely a downside. If we get inflation and interest rates go up, mortgage interest rates go up substantially or even a little bit, there are a whole lot of people who suddenly won't be able to afford that higher price point, and those price points will have to come down or people won't be able to sell. And that will be a big letdown. It could be as big a letdown as we saw in 2005 and 2006 when we last saw prices run up like crazy and then they got smacked by the housing crisis. So there are some dangers on the forefront.
What are you hearing about the stimulus bill and potential stimulus checks?
Well, people were very excited to see this passed. Many, many Americans will be able to get checks of up to $1,400. They have lowered the amount, though, for the adjusted gross income. It's now $75,000 for single people and $150,000 for married. But if you qualify, you'll get $1,400 each plus $1,400 for each dependent. And now the dependent goes up to age 17 and includes that to any dependent, even adult dependents. So this is a big change from the last stimulus that came out. And there's The American Enterprise Institute estimates that 26 million more people, mainly college students, disabled adults, and elderly Americans, will now be eligible for a payment.
Are you hearing that the unemployment supplement will be $400?
That is what I'm hearing, although I haven't seen sort of the final number on that. But, you know, for $400, it was $300 in December, so that even that's a little bit of a boost. And what we are seeing is that spending increased dramatically once that other stimulus went through and the $600 checks hit the bank. We saw personal spending increase by almost 2.5%, according to the BEA. So there's, you can fully expect that once $1,400 a person hits, that we're going to see that jump up as well. And that's good for business everywhere.
Yeah. We have a minute left, Lisa, and I just wanted to mention this, and I don't know what we do about it. Everybody knows we're on this freight train, and we all know it needs to slow down or stop, but nobody can or even wants it to. And that is the amount of spending that we're doing. Like, that's going to get us through this year, and that's good, and it'll stimulate the economy, and yet it'll add to $31 trillion in debt. And we know that's a bad thing, but and we know it's a bad thing, but nobody is about to do anything, it appears, that's going to keep that train from going, that we're going to add another $2 trillion to it. That wasn't a question. I just thought at some point somebody needs to say that. It's like when they look back at this moment in history and say, didn't those fools know? I want them to play this tape back and go, yeah, we know. But we don't have any other tools in our belt, do we, in our box? That's all we got.
We really don't. When people are faced with possible death if they leave their houses in a pandemic, they're just not going to go out. They're not going to go to work. The economy is going to stop. And I think that the 500,000 people who have lost their lives and the millions more who have been damaged by this disease, I think we have to do what we can for everybody to keep people safe. And the debt, well, we're going to have to deal with that too.
Elise Glink is the real estate and financial wellness expert. Her book is 100 Questions Every First-Time Home Buyer Should Ask. Visit thinkglink.com. We'll talk to you on Monday. Thanks, Elise.
Thank you, John.
And Mondays, Jim Dahlke joins us, senior editor at Chicago Inno. Hi, Jim. Welcome back.
Hey, John. Great to be here.
Let's talk about is this a Peoria company, isn't it? Allbirds?
That's right. So actually, Allbirds, a shoe startup actually in Silicon Valley, has invested in a Peoria company called Natural Fiber Welding. Really interesting company downstate, kind of a startup that, you know, not a lot of people have probably heard of, but they're working on some really innovative stuff. They're a material startup, and they've created a way to produce plant-based leather, which they say they're able to kind of make that really kind of outperforms conventional, manufactured leather that doesn't rely on cows, and they're able to do so without the resins and the glues and the coatings that other leather alternatives use. And Allbirds just last week invested $2 million in Natural Fiber Welding. Really interesting investment for Allbirds. Allbirds, of course, is the very, very popular shoe brand, especially in the Valley among a lot of startup and tech folks. And interesting to see that then they're going to be using Natural Fiber Welding's products kind of in their shoes. This comes on the heels, actually, of just the other last year, Ralph Lauren invested in this startup, too. So a downstate Illinois startup making a lot of noise.
That's how it's in my mind. Last time Ralph Lauren was involved, that's when we talked about it here. And I don't remember what the stuff is that this is made out of. Is it soy or corn? Or what is the product that this faux leather is made out of?
Yeah, so they do a few different products. So the leather product that they make uses different things like hemp, waste cork, coconut, and vegetable oil. So those are kind of the products in their leather product. They also have a product called Claris, which takes recycled cotton and turns it into high-performance materials. So really upcycles used cotton in a way that is really innovative, and that's what caught Ralph Lauren's eye the other year. So definitely a lot of moves for this Peoria company. Just moved into a new manufacturing space in downtown Peoria as well. So definitely interesting to see some innovation happening downstate.
We got to get a handbag or a jacket from these people, Pete, and see how persuasive this alternative leather is. I mean, if it's not enough like leather, then one wonders how successful it will be. Do you have any idea on that, Jim?
Well, I know that, you know, not only are, you know, shoppers increasingly looking for more, you know, sustainable materials and more better for environment products, but companies have that sort of baked into their mission statements as well. So, you know, companies are making sure that, you know, they are investing in technologies and products like this too. So, you know, what NFW says is they, you know, they're able to create a product that, that is very similar to other, plant-based leather alternatives. And, you know, hey, a pretty big boost of confidence here from brands like Ralph Lauren and Allbirds for this company. So my guess is that it's doing a pretty good job of mimicking the material.
Yeah, no kidding. You know what this makes me think of too a little bit, Jim, is Lou Manfredini, our Mr. Fix-It here, was talking on Saturday about manufactured diamonds and how some people may want the real thing, you know, dug out of the earth, but in conditions that maybe we all don't like. So how about we just make something in the lab for a little less and it'll be every bit as good as any diamond. You would never know the difference, except you might know the difference and you say, no, I don't want the fake diamond. I want the real diamond. What do you care? And I suppose that same conversation must happen a little bit around something like this too. Do you really want real leather or is not real leather that's just as good, good enough? I'm wondering how consumers would react to something like that.
Long-term consumer trends, right? We'll have to see. You know, I don't know if lab-grown diamonds will continue to be a big piece of the conversation 10, 20, 30 years from now, but they're certainly getting a lot of steam right now, especially among millennial buyers, people looking for sustainably sourced, environmentally friendly, ethically sourced materials. And certainly that you're seeing that in the lab-grown diamond space. And I think that, the material space that natural fiber welding is playing into has a big opportunity ahead of themselves.
You wrote a piece about, what is it, internet on cruise ships. Is that right?
Right. So a startup in Chicago called K4 Mobility is bringing internet to yachts and other large ships. Really interesting thing about K4 Mobility is it's actually started by the former CEO of Gogo, Michael Small. So Gogo, of course, a Chicago company working with in-flight Wi-Fi, and what K4 Mobility is doing is bringing internet to the seas instead of the skies. And they raised some funding last week, $5.7 million. They've raised a total of about $14 million since they launched in 2008. Really kind of led by a team of executives from Gogo who are really powering this internet on the seas initiative. And they're starting with yachts, and they think they'll eventually get to cruise ships, but right now they're working on yachts and commercial shipping companies, eventually going to expand that to kind of larger fishing vessels and larger ships like cruise ships as well. But they've created kind of a really interesting product that, you know, allows ship crews and passengers to get this reliable, fast internet while they're out at sea and really kind of dictate how much they use and when they use it. So it gives them a lot of flexibility to kind of increase their bandwidth and lower it when they're not using it, using it in a way that's able to connect to different satellites and different on-port connections. So really innovative company here in K4 Mobility.
Yeah, that's so frustrating when you travel either in a plane or on a cruise ship. I've never been on a yacht, but, you know, I've got all the conveniences of the world, but I can't get on the internet. You know, which kind of kills a vacation for some people. Actually, it should be the essence of a vacation, but this sounds like they're in a pretty good space to me.
Yeah, you know, and, you know, I asked the company about that, you know, the size of the opportunity, right, like airplanes versus ships. And, you know, one executive was telling me that there's about 40,000 planes in the air on a normal day. There are about 600,000 ships on the water. So the market actually is much bigger for ships than it is for airplanes.
Give me the headline on the Midwest Fund. What's this about?
Yeah, a new fund led by startup founders that's investing in founders. Really cool initiative. It's actually called the Midwest Fund. It's a geographic-specific group from a New York-based venture fund called The Fund, and they have several geographic-focused VC funds across the U.S. and the world, and they just launched in the Midwest and headed by a group of several startup founders across the region, including Jennifer Freed, who's the founder of Chicago-based Explorer Surgical. And basically what this is a very early-stage fund, kind of helping give founders that early seed capital that it's hard to find in the Midwest. Typically, investors tend to be pretty risk adverse and pretty conservative, especially at the early stages. So the Midwest Fund is really kind of taking a founder specific approach to backing startups. So great initiative and an area that's much needed in the Midwest.
Hmm. Jim Dahlke, you can read more Chicago Inno. It's always a pleasure to visit with you. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, John. Talk soon.
You betcha. Senior editor at ChicagoInno.com. It's 12:40. 43. Wintrust Business Lunch continues now with more business news and Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. The CEO of McDonald's says allegations of sexual harassment under the Golden Arches will be fully and thoroughly investigated. He issued a statement following a report by CBS News about dozens of female McDonald's employees across the country who say they face sexual harassment and discrimination. In response to the allegations, McDonald's says it'll roll out a new set of global brand standards regarding workplace safety later this year. The CEO says sexual harassment against McDonald's employees will not be tolerated. United Airlines has placed an order for 25 new Boeing 737 MAX aircraft for delivery in 2023 and has moved up delivery of 45 previously ordered MAX aircraft. The order is a vote of confidence in the planes that were grounded for 20 months after two crashes. The decision comes as United prepares for a recovery in travel demand as the COVID pandemic begins to ease. United has firm commitments for 188 737 MAX airplanes. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio. Amy Guth joins us once again. And Amy, I didn't know much about this Toyota RAV4 SUV story. What's going on here?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So the U.S. government has, they're investigating complaints of engine compartment fires. They're looking at about 1.9 million Toyota RAV4, the little SUV. What's interesting to note about that is that outside of pickup trucks, the RAV4 is the top selling vehicle in the U.S. So that's why it's such a high number. Important to note, though, it's not yet a recall. So if they do the investigation and decide that a recall is necessary, people will be notified. But if anyone listening should happen to drive a RAV4, they may want to kind of keep their ears perked about how this shakes out. Essentially, it's a terminal in the battery that might short, and that causes a loss of electrical power that can cause the engine stalling or a fire. So they've had a higher than, they said higher than normal number of fires reported. So there is some concern at this moment about, is it okay to put my car in the garage? Should I keep it out in the driveway? Things like that. So that's why they're doing this investigation, to see exactly what's going on with these RAV4s. So I think that's going to be an important one to watch, especially for RAV4 owners, to see if there will be a recall.
You follow the airline industry pretty closely. What's the latest there?
I do. And so, you know, especially Boeing, since they're here in our backyard and they've had such a tumultuous couple of years, you know, the 737 MAX that was grounded for almost 2 years, it was cleared by U.S. and European regulators to begin flying again. The Chinese air regulation authority says, hey, you know what? I'm not convinced yet. So they are not yet approving that plane for flight. In addition to North America and Europe, China is such a huge market for Boeing. There's about 100 planes, a few more than that, in Chinese airspace that are all grounded right now. So obviously that's something Boeing wants to get rectified. And what's interesting to me is that the Chinese aviation authority said took it kind of a step further. What we heard from Europe and from American, from the FAA here, was about getting pilots retrained and trained further, and also dealing with some safety concerns that had come up during production. In addition to those two things, the Chinese authority is also saying they want a resolution to the investigation into the two crashes that grounded the plane in the first place. So there, this might be kind of a long wait for the Chinese market, which again is such a big important one for Boeing. And as far as global air travel goes, the Chinese market was the first to pick back up. So a lot of airlines that have any routes to China were very eager to get those going again once that reopened, because it obviously opened before U.S. and European destinations did. So really, I think that'll be interesting to see how that plays out and how long that investigation goes, because that's been an ongoing investigation that's been going for a while. It could still be quite a while, and it'll be interesting to see if the Chinese authorities are willing to wait, you know, upwards of a year or two for those investigations to be resolved before they're going to okay that plane again.
Well, is it possible they have ulterior motives? That is, they just don't want to accommodate an American business?
Well, I suppose anything's possible. At this moment, though, those are the three reasons they're citing, though. They're saying, hey, you know, we want more training for pilots. They called it effective flight training. They decided the training that was being offered was not quite sufficient. In addition, they want all of the changes updated that the European and American bodies, governing bodies, had said, but also this third detail, which I thought was interesting.
We did not mention this with Elise, but I'll just mention it to you. I'm just reading from CNBC. Shares of the industrial giant Boeing jumped 5%, leading the rally in the blue chip Dow Jones Industrial Average. This is from earlier today, but it's pertinent right now. Amid the broad market comeback, everybody seems to be doing pretty well. Boeing advance came after United Airlines, there it is, said it is buying 25 additional 737 MAX planes. That's a sign of confidence that's nice to see.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think that that number is really a key one to keep an eye on for both Boeing and their rival, Airbus, which is in Europe. That number of plane orders and what's on each order, because there are some carriers that have switched up their order and saying, you know, I don't know if I want a Dreamliner, given everything going on. I don't know if I want a 737 MAX. How about this other aircraft? So it's been interesting to watch how the carriers are responding to that, how they're adjusting orders. And in this case, with United, upping the order.
Starbucks is adding oat milk to its menu. Did you see that?
I sure did. And, you know, this certainly makes non-dairy options aplenty at Starbucks, if that's your thing, because now there's soy, almond, coconut, and oat milk. So Starbucks has announced a partnership with Oatly. That is the oat milk maker that Oprah is a big fan of, which I think never hurts any company if Oprah is talking about you. They have cited some Nielsen data saying that U.S. oat milk sales are up 170% over the past year. This is likely kind of part of the broader trend. A lot of consumers are looking for plant-based alternatives to meat products, to dairy products, things like that. And Starbucks is jumping on board that. So at this point, you can get just about any sort of dairy or non-dairy thing for your coffee there. With this, they're also launching some new iced drinks. There's an iced brown sugar oat milk shaken espresso and an iced chocolate almond milk shaken espresso. They're also going to add some non-dairy plant-based foods to the menu. This all starts tomorrow. So the foods are going to be a chickpea bites box and an avocado protein box. So it seems like they're really responding to that broader push in the market. And in their announcement, they kept referencing that, you know, the consumer demand was much higher and getting higher for plant-based products. And this is how they are answering that.
We, excuse me, we had a guest on earlier on my 9 to noon show, and it's based on something we did here on the Wintrust Business not that long ago. Chicago-based company, and what they're doing is coming up with non-meat meats. They are able to grow, if you will. It's based on mushrooms, little tiny microbial mushrooms is how they were described to us, and they're able to grow those in a lab and then take that stuff and then flavor it into anything you want. So you can make breakfast sausages. You could make a non-dairy cream cheese to spread on your English muffin. I guess the point is, what's the market going to be like for that? And he mentioned that there's all of these alternatives to milk. So you can get soy milk and almond milk and things like that. You could put it in your coffee at Starbucks. But that's not as much of a leap of faith by the consumer as saying, I'm going to get a sausage patty that's made out of this fungi that is very healthy and very neutral in flavor. And then they find a way to flavor it. And then behold, you've got yourself a chicken patty. And that's a long way of saying how, I guess, just far or how far reaching anyway, Amy, that technology is going right now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's been interesting to see all the innovation in that space. I mean, you're talking about this company doing this with mushrooms. There's one that's doing non-dairy products out of sunflower seeds. There's a couple that are making out of cashews. Really interesting and I think very creative work at play right now, trying to rise to that consumer demand for healthier choices and plant-based choices.
Yeah, no kidding. Amy Guth, joining us on Mondays on the Wintrust Business Lunch. We'll talk to you again later this week.
Thanks so much, John.